church for the first time, hello. We have two other services. At 11:30, there is the all-age service, and at 6:30, our reflective worship, both here. We're delighted that Ken will be leading us in our service just now. Thank you. Pastoral news, Liz Borthwick has had a pacemaker fitted this week and she's recovering well. Last night we had our beetle drive and it went very well. There were about 30 people shaking the dice and constructing insects. We'd like to thank Bethany for all the work she did along with Leslie to make it happen. Thank you, Bethany. Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Hello. I keep being asked how the plan's going for the concert, and I keep saying very well. In fact, they are, because we had so many offers to play in the concert. We've now had to close the lists, which is very good news. We've got a wonderful variety of things that you'll be listening to on September the 21st. But if you've left it too late to volunteer to play in the concert, don't worry. There's still musical opportunities for you, because we need a big choir for the Songs of Praise service, which follows the concert. That's at 6:30 on the 21st. And we're going to have a little get-together over coffee. Anybody that I've already approached, quite a few people have been asked or indeed said they're interested, and any others who might like to join in. It's not a choir that needs fantastic music reading skills or anything. It's to get the congregation going as they do in Songs of Praise. So please join us at 11:15 or so, and we'll talk things through. Thank you.
And finally, don't forget the bank holiday Monday, which is the 25th of August, the opportunity to walk, and the meeting place is New Malden Station at 10:15, and Georgina, who's organising it, says that the walk is fairly easy. Enjoy. Thank you.
Everybody, we continue our service by saying together the words of the Song of the Incarnation here. I'll say the ones in the light script. Will you join in the ones with the bold script? The grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. God is love, and his love was disclosed to us in this, that he sent his only Son into the world to bring us life. God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has made heir of the whole universe. His glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We join to sing, "The kingdom of God is justice and joy." Using the words which are projected on the screen, Almighty God, in whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not perish but have eternal life. To all who repent and believe, we declare in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God grants us the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks be to God. We join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. No. Our first reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, and Georgina Forbes will read this for us.
The reading is taken from Isaiah 56, reading verse 1 and verses 6 to 8. The Lord says to his people, "Do what is just and right, for soon I will save you." And the Lord says to those foreigners who become part of his people, who love him and serve him, who observe the Sabbath and faithfully keep his covenant, "I will bring you to Zion, my sacred hill, give you joy in my house of prayer, and accept the sacrifices you offer on my altar. My temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations. The sovereign Lord, who has brought his people Israel home from exile, has promised that he will bring still other people to join them."
We join to sing, "And Art Thou Come With Us to Dwell."
Thank you.
Our second reading comes from St. Luke's Gospel, and Margaret Golding is going to read it for us.
St. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 to 12. Faith. The apostles said to the Lord, "Make our faith greater." The Lord answered, "If you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea,' and it would obey you." The servant's duty. Suppose one of you has a servant who is ploughing or looking after the sheep. When he comes in from the field, do you tell him to hurry and eat his meal? Of course not. Instead, you say to him, "Get my supper ready. Then put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may have your meal." The servant does not deserve thanks for obeying orders, does he? It is the same with you. When you have done all you have been told to do, say, "We are ordinary servants. We have done our duty." Amen.
When I was a boy, I was rather serious-minded and inclined to take things literally. And this particularly applied to the Bible. I can remember, for instance, peering through the bedroom curtains to check that the moon was still its usual color, because the Bible said that the moon would turn to blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord came. And I felt uncertain that I would be a sheep rather than a goat. But I was also tremendously impressed by today's gospel and sneaked off by myself to see if I could move a few trees. Curiously enough, although they didn't move, I never doubted the truth of the word of Jesus about faith. Nor have I ever doubted that it was addressed to me personally. And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be rooted up and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, I knew that I did not have this kind of faith. So the word of Jesus did not comfort or reassure me, it disturbed me. This, I think, was because I looked upon faith as something which I had to achieve by my own personal efforts, something I had to secure and use, in the words of the American Quaker Hannah Whittle Smith, as a passport to God's favor, or a coin to purchase God's gifts. She's written like this: "And you have been praying for faith, expecting all the while to get something like this, and never having received any such thing, you are insisting upon it that you have no faith. Now, faith, in fact, is not in the least like this. It is nothing at all tangible. It is simply believing God. And like sight, it is nothing apart from its object. You might as well shut your eyes and look inside to see whether you have sight as to look inside to see whether you have faith. You see something, and thus you know you have sight. You believe something, and thus you know you have faith. But having faith and seeing things are also alike in another way. The important thing about sight is to see something as it truly is. And the only necessary thing about faith is that you believe the thing as it is. As there is no sight apart from what you see, there is no faith apart from what you believe in. The word of Jesus is not that we don't believe hard enough, but that our beliefs are too small. Our God is cramped by the narrowness and poverty of our vision. And that narrowness stops up the channels of God's love and power towards us. So, under the cover of religious faith, women are oppressed and homosexuals persecuted. Faith is good, not because you believe, but because the one in whom you believe is greater than you. We worship God because God is not like us, not in our image, not the reflection of our prejudices. For the love of God is broader than the measures of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own. We have been given the vision of God. The God in whom we put our faith is the God whom Paul describes as the one who makes the dead live and summons things that are not yet in existence as though they already were. Anything is possible when we overcome the poverty of our own prejudice and imagination by putting our trust in the God who has revealed to us a new dimension of living in Christ. Therefore, Jesus says to us, anything is possible if you have faith. We are given the vision of God. The whole focus of faith is that vision, and we live by it. We are a serving community, but of course there are many serving communities. We are the serving community who live by the vision of God, revealed to us in the life and death of Jesus Christ, and in the continuing revelations which come to us time after time from his Spirit. Jesus said, there are many things I have to tell you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. The distinctive character of our community is described by Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi. We are the community in whom the Spirit of God has started a good work, who are unworthy servants, that is, people who acknowledge the authority of our Lord, who are vouching for the truth of the gospel, who, in the loyalty of our hearts, give willingly to the Lord, whose love grows in knowledge and in insight of every kind, and who see all things in relation to the day of Christ. As Christians, our power is derived, not personal. So it's not dependent on personal gifts, or advantages of class, education or wealth. It depends on the absolute authority of the Lord over all creation, which is the only basis of confidence and power for us. When we understand this, we have a proper grasp of our place as ministers of the gospel, which we all are. On the one side, we rest confidently in the power of God, knowing that the one who is working within us is far beyond anything that we can conceive or think. And on the other side, we know that we are working for another rather than for ourselves. We are not privy to the divine plan. We do not understand God. If we did, there would be nothing to worship. We are, of course, continually tempted to judge ourselves and the results of our community in human terms. But in fact, we are not called to be successful in human terms. We are called as individuals and as a community to vouch for the truth of the gospel. The function of our community is to vouch for that truth in the place where we are, home, work, against the background of our imperfect vision of God. For us as a community, faith means the faithfulness of God to us, not our faith in God. We are remembered even when we forget. Paul speaks of God's commitment to us in these words: "The one who started a good work in you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." And in another place, "I pray that love may teach you by experience what things are most worthwhile." If we live our lives by faith, that is, by our vision of God and God's faithfulness and loving kindness to us, then God will lead us by a lifelong experience of love into an understanding of the things in heaven and earth which are most worthwhile. The pursuit of that vision gives us direction, purpose, and the possibility of completeness. And on the journeying, the experience of grace and peace. Keep silence for a moment. We join to sing Carol Micklem's hymn, "Give to me, Lord, a thankful heart and a discerning mind." Now, we half know this hymn, and I think a number of people will recognize the tune, but I've asked EJ if she will play it through twice at the beginning, and then we'll have a go. Thank you. Christine Thompson will lead our intercessions this morning.
Let us pray. We pray for the torn and divided peoples of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, for refugees and uprooted families, for all living in camps and for those who assist them, and for all who have been bereaved, injured, and traumatized. Especially at this time, we pray for all who suffer in the midst of renewed conflict and attack. We pray for Israelis living with the threat of rocket fire, for Palestinians in the West Bank subjected to the violation of their civil liberties and human rights, and living under the constraints of military occupation and settler harassment. We pray for the people of Gaza, living under blockade and repeated military bombardment, adding fear to the misery of poverty and want. In particular, we pray for children and young people caught up in terror beyond their understanding or control. We pray for those who have been killed, maimed, bereaved, those who have had their future torn away from them, those whose lives are bleak, lacking opportunity, mobility, and hope. We repent of our complicity in silence, our closing our eyes to the needs and well-being of the children, and our failure to reject the ways of violence, threat, and injustice. Pray not for Arab or Jew, for Palestinian or Israeli, but pray rather for ourselves, that we might not divide them in our prayers, but keep them both together in our hearts. When races fight, peace be amongst us. When neighbours argue, peace be amongst us. When nations disagree, peace be amongst us. Where people struggle for justice, let justice prevail. Where Christ's disciples follow, let peace be our way. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our peace and our hope. Amen.
We continue our service as we make our offertory. Loving God, your grace provides us with secure shelter even when the world is clouded in doubt and despair. Our lives periodically seem adrift from the refuge of your unwavering love. Lift us from the depths of doubt, restore our hope, and help us to find contentment in you, so that we may offer these financial gifts as devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We join to sing through all the changing scenes of life. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus loves all, no matter what they do. But of course, this is almost too incredible for us to accept. Nevertheless, the central affirmation of the Reformation stands. Through no merit of ours, but by his mercy, we have been restored to a right relationship with God through the life, death, and resurrection of his beloved Son. This is the good news.
Hello? Hello?
Turning it on. Okay.
Hello, hello.
Yes. Great. If you... Are you meant to be doing the music today? I mean, the sound?
Well, I'm elder, so I will be doing... I should probably be doing the sound.
Okay. If it gets to the point where, like, there's no issues with the sound, you could probably go, because I know how to do everything.
Well, would you, could you put it all away for
yeah,
me?
That'd be perfectly
fine,
okay. Yeah.
That would make my life really easy.
Yeah.
Because once I've prayed with Leslie, that would be fantastic. That would be great,
yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, no
I mean,
problem.
It should be all right, just,
yeah.
But it should be balanced, okay,
yeah.
Without me sitting there.
Yeah.
But,
if it needs any adjustments, I'll do it. So
if you don't mind,
fine.
That would be lovely. Thank
that'd
you.
Fine.
Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you.